10:22. While you're doing that, last Saturday before our conference for the revival services, there is a, they call it Family Fun Day or something down here at the Fire Hall at on Davidsburg Road. And we will have a stand set up down there, and we're going to be just meeting the community. And if you would like to help, you can probably, you can see Brother Brandon, see what we might need there. And but just come by and say, howdy. This sounds funny. Stand at the table, make it look busy. And then people want to come by and see what's going on. I know that sounds funny. Come by, tell some jokes, hee-haw with us. I'm serious. And people will, before long, everybody's looking up there. There's nothing up there, but everybody's looking because I am, you know. And so if you stand around the table and hee-haw and talk and all those kind of things, it's amazing what we can do. Does anybody need a worksheet? Didn't get a worksheet? Slip your hand and you went down front here. Oh, we're all out? Oh, well, I even made a few more than normal. We have a nice crowd tonight. That's good. I'll go back to making more. Just promise me you'll keep coming. All righty. But anyway, I want to encourage you to do that. I think as long as no one else is doing it, they're going to do balloon animals and stuff for the kids, and that draws a crowd. But we have a little display we're putting up there and just introducing a lot of the ministries to the neighborhood. And so I'm going to encourage you to do that. All right. John chapter 10. We've been looking at this crazy conversation, conflicting stories, all kinds of things have been going on in these last few chapters of John. Jesus is out in the ministry. He's doing what Jesus does. But there's a mixed array of responses to who he is. Some will say, well, this is the Messiah we've been looking for. Oh, no, it can't be. Well, yeah, who else would do anything like this? Yeah, but it can't be. He's from Galilee. The Messiah is supposed to come from Bethlehem. Well, he did come from Bethlehem. But they don't know that. And so there's a variety of things, and they're trying to figure things out. Meantime, that's the general public. The Pharisees, they know their Bible a little better, and they know what's going on to a certain extent. And they don't like it. And we have seen how they have kind of refused to know who he is. Now, be honest with you, this, I hate to say it, when I came back to this chapter, I know there's some other things in here, but there's a certain redundancy here. And we're seeing a lot of these things over and over again. And I think the reason is because this is the way we are. This is, too often we say, well, okay, preacher's going to, he's going to preach about this issue. Okay, well, I'm glad that's done. Now we can move on. And then it's like he comes back and the Lord talks about it all over again. And then he gives us a little chance to think about it. And then he comes back and he talks about it all over again. And there's it's a very primary issue. But it's just the way we are. You know, we give ourselves so many excuses not to trust and obey. We kind of rationalize things out. Oh, yeah, well, maybe, and then maybe tomorrow. Well, that can't be right, so let's not do that. And, well, that sounds kind of fanatical, and so let's not do that. And what happens? We meander through life and never have the victorious Christian life that God wants us to have, because we've played the game all these years. In fact, to be honest with you, the longer we play the game, the easier it is to play the game. Let's read from verse number 22 to the end of the chapter. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. That was kind of an outside thing where you could get in underneath from out of the weather. And some believe that Feast of Dedication was something from the Maccabean period, during that intertestament period. And some think it was another issue. And so they're not really quite sure what that one was, but that's what they think. But it really wasn't one of those that the Lord had put in the law. Anyway, verse 24. Then came the Jews around about him. Now, when it says Jews like that, it's telling you the Jewish leadership, the ones who have some say. This is in Jerusalem. Of course there's Jews there, okay? But it's representative of the mindset, the leadership, the focus, the direction of the people. And so the Jews came around about him and said unto him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Now, if you've been here, we have heard this, oh my soul, umpteen times. "Well, you're the Christ." "No, you can't be the Christ." I don't know, just back and forth and back and forth. And even at one time, remember that one time he stands up at the one feast there, let's say the feast in chapter 7. He says, he stood up and he cried out, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." I mean, he stood up and cried that out. And there's been other times where he basically said, "Well, I am. If, you know, I am who I am. I'm the Son of God," and so forth. He has made it out to say that. And somehow they're saying, "All right, now give it to us straight here." Verse 25, Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, he is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, maketh thyself God." By the way, there's a lot of liberals who say that Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, these people certainly thought he did. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom," I'll explain this a little later here, "if they called them gods unto whom the word of the God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand." Of course, it's not his time. God's not going to let him get killed yet. "And went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there."
Let's pray, and we're going to talk about, do you want to know the truth or not? Do you want to know the truth or not? That's a good question, and it's something we have to answer ourselves. I can't tell you how many folks have, over the years, have come in, well, tell me what I need to do, preacher, and I tell them, Well, let me think about it. Well, do you want to know the truth or not? Well, we got the answers in the Word of God. Well, I know. But I was listening to Oprah, and she said, do you want to know the truth or not? You follow me? We say we want to know truth, but when truth is given, are we willing to take it? Let's pray. Father, give me thank you for your Word. Thank you for the truth. And Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. He is the Word of God made flesh that dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Only by mercy and truth is iniquity purged. Lord, we want to know truth. May we see ourselves in here this evening. Maybe a simple little thing, but shine the light of your Word on it tonight, exactly where each of us need to see, so that we know where to walk. And Lord, I pray that our folks will be encouraged to walk in truth. That's what John said. He says, nothing makes me great, what gives me more joy than know that my children walk in truth. So Lord, give us your wisdom and give us your truth. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. The Pharisees and the people have been around and around and around with Jesus concerning who he really is for a long time. Some are willing to believe who Jesus claims to be, and some are not. Often it's a matter of ignorance that keeps them from believing. If they had known the Word of God and had been willing to believe it and use it, they would have come to realize that Jesus is truly the Son of God. He's the Messiah that was promised. He's not only the Son of God, but God the Son. But part of that issue was that the leadership wasn't preaching it. They were too busy preaching their own laws, enforcing their own interpretation of the law. They had that Talmud, and they would take the law of God, and then they would apply it here and here and there, and spend so much time applying the law that they weren't applying the Word of God. They're applying their laws to the point where they actually complained to Jesus because his disciples, though they were walking with the Lord, they weren't keeping the Pharisees' laws. And we've got to be careful with that. Now, there are others who can see who he is, who Jesus is, and they refuse to believe. We've seen this theme before multiple times, and yet here we go again. And apparently, this is a common and a constant problem. I've said this statement before too. You know, we come to church, and the Lord works on our heart, and we say, okay, I'm going to change that. We go to bed with a determination. You confess it to the Lord, and you ask for help, and you have a good night's sleep, and you wake up the next morning, and all that kind of fades away. And all of a sudden, we're not doing what we said. Last night, we were all convicted. I mean, you know, there's places where it talks about we need to diligently seek these things. Diligently. This is going to sound funny. It's a shame that we wouldn't remember. I mean, if you went to bed and you knew that you had to be at the bank at 8 o'clock the next morning, and if you were there by 8 o'clock the next morning, they're going to give you $10,000. All you got to do is show up; they'll give you $10,000. You probably would remember to do that. Now, the fact is, if you were going to get up the next morning, you had an 8:30 dentist appointment, you may conveniently forget But if you're a good little boy, you're a little girl, you probably make yourself a note. You set the alarm to make sure that you're where you need to be when the time comes. This, again, might sound funny, but I've done this. I've written myself a note at night over a decision that I had made and put it right next to me on the nightstand next to the bed where I keep all my little notes of things that I've been thinking of. And sometimes I lay down at night, my head gets down, and all the blood rushes to my head. My mind starts going a mile a minute, you know, and I get up and I write this thing down. Well, that make a good message. Well, I don't forget about that and put that in there. Or I got to make sure I don't forget to call so-and-so and so-and-so. And I've got these little notes. I've actually put on notes. Don't forget, and then I'll name the decision that I made. It's kind of like saying, don't forget to die daily. Don't forget to surrender every day. That thing that is giving you a problem, we learn the lesson. We learn what fixes that. It fixes it today, too. And I might make a little note and leave it there for weeks. And when I get ready to turn off that alarm, that thing's staring me in the face. You say, well, that's kind of weird. Why do you have to do that? Well, if that's what it takes to get us to do it, well, then that's what we need to do. So more often than not, it's not that we do not see what the Word of God is telling us, as much as it is that we refuse to trust and obey it, or just conveniently forget. Number one, truth questioned. Questioned. Truth questioned. Our passage says in verse 22, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. It was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. In other words, let's get this all settled. All right, okay, Jesus, are you the Messiah or are you not? Number one, is Jesus the truth or not? That's the question. Is Jesus the truth or not? Pilate said, truth. What is truth? When he was examining Jesus. The Jewish leaders asked the obvious question, but they've already decided what the correct answer is. Got to say that again? They're going to ask a question. It's an obvious question, but they've already decided what the correct answer is. They're not looking for the real answer. They're looking for an acceptable answer. Now, let me say it again. When we go to the Word of God, we read it. When God finally speaks to our heart. In fact, I think sometimes we don't pray because we're afraid He's actually going to talk to us. Sometimes I don't think we read our Bible because we're afraid He may actually show us. We may get the answer, but all of a sudden realize it's not the answer we're looking for. It's not acceptable to us. So they say, how long are you going to keep us in suspense and make us hold our breath? That's kind of the way that word is there. He says, if thou be the Christ, in other words, if you are the anointed one, the Messiah, that the Old Testament says is going to come, tell us plainly. Give it to us straight, Jesus. We can take it. We can handle it. No, you can't handle the truth. Give us truth. You can't handle the truth. You won't accept the straight answer. We have come to a point in our society where truth is so relative. By the way, there is no such thing as an oxymoron. But that's the way we think. Truth is relative. If it's relative, then it's not truth. Let us see. We see truth refused. Truth questioned. What's truth? All right, let's give you truth. Truth is refused. It was not that Jesus hadn't been open and forthright with the people. The people had just refused to accept Jesus for who he claimed to be. They would take him, put him in their own little pigeonhole. They would make him out what they want him to be. Listen, sometimes we make Jesus out to be what we've seen some Christian do. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've raised four decent kids, but I don't want to be blamed for everything they do. And God shouldn't be blamed for everybody who calls him daddy. Well, they're supposed to be really saved, and they're doing this. Don't blame God for what something. Listen, you want to know what God's thinking? Get it out of the book. Well, that's not what they were doing. Don't worry about them. Find truth. Live truth. Of course, the other thing is, you know, if I could think about what they're doing, I look pretty good next to them. So, yeah, I'm doing all right, maybe. So if I could just convince myself that what that mess over there that they call church is true, if that's what it is, then I don't need that. I'm better off than that. So I can just live the way I do, and I'm still at the top of the heap. But we're not compared to them. It's unwise to compare ourselves to them. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The people had just refused to accept Jesus for who he claimed to be. Jesus had told them before, and they just didn't hear it. Because that they had already made up their minds what the truth is. I'm going to say this, I can't remember who it was. I don't know whether the person's in the room or not tonight. But I was having a conversation not too long ago. And I would say, I'd say, well, here's what the Bible says. And the person would say, well, the way I see it, I don't want to get in trouble, but the way I see it, I know they said that 6 or 8 times. Well, the way I see it doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make a difference how I see it. It only makes a difference how God sees it. That's truth. See, some people they come to the Bible, they've already decided what truth is, and listen, they get confused. The Bible says, well, the Bible doesn't make any sense. I had somebody, and I think I used this illustration a while back. Somebody said, well, why in the world does the Bible say that Adam and Eve ate an apple? Because they didn't eat an apple. Well, why does the Bible say that? The Bible doesn't say that. Man says that. The Bible doesn't say that. Well, sure it does. I said, go find it. I have to say, I guess after a while I become a cynic, but I got to the point where I say, here, show me. There's some things that people will accuse God of, they accuse religion of, and they don't have their facts straight. Jesus told them that they just didn't hear because they already made up their mind and they already decided what truth is, and him being the Messiah was not an acceptable answer. It didn't register. He can't be the Messiah because we don't want him. So he's not a Messiah, so we have to reinterpret everything else around that. I'm not going to even get into politics. But the people have already made some decisions. And they've already got the lynch mob out. And they've already decided what they're going to do. And some of that decision was made before they had any of the facts. This is exactly what's going on here. Now, Jesus did nothing nor said anything to give them any doubt as to who he was. The only reason there was any doubt, because they said, listen, don't let us doubt any longer. Tell us plainly who you are. So what have I been doing for 3.5 years? The only reason was because they had not been given the answer they wanted to hear. Instead, all they heard was a crazy rambling of a lunatic, because what he says didn't match up to what they've already decided is true. Now let me say this. When you start studying the Word of God, let the Word of God interpret itself, precept upon precept, line upon line. Come in here. You say, well, that's hard. Well, and you know, that's why sometimes on Sunday morning we'll jump here and then we'll jump here. I'm trying to be nice and just say, I'm going to read it. You mark down the passage, go home and look at it. Put it in the margin of your Bible so you can mark it down. You make your own little reference Bible out of this deal. Because I want you to understand what how it goes together. Because this is true, because here it is here and here it is here, and this gives sheds a little light on it. Here, it's not what the world says, it's what the Bible says, and we need to know what it says if we're going to understand truth. So not, and you say, well, I don't understand truth. Because we won't let the Word of God be the Word of God. Let it say what it says. So, we have number one, truth was questioned. Why? Because it was refused. Number two, when truth contradicts my truth. Let's just kind of develop this. Number two, when truth contradicts my truth. Letter A, Jesus gives what is considered to be the wrong answer to the leadership. It wasn't the wrong answer, but they considered the wrong answer. Wrong. Letter B, the works of Jesus bear witness as to who he is. The works of Jesus bear witness as to who he is. And let's read the scripture, verse 25. Jesus answered them after they said, hey, don't leave us hanging here. Tell us, are you the Messiah or not? Well, I told you, and you believe not. Colon. Now it's going to explain. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Now whether I stood up and said right smack in your face, I am the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. He said, listen, I may not have always said that, but he said, look what I'm doing here. The people back here a few months ago, they said, well, he must be the Messiah. Because who else could do something like this? Unless God be with him. Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, John chapter 3, came to Jesus by night. He says, we know that you're of God, because how else would you be able to do the things that you do? And you know that he had conversations with some of the other Pharisees. We've already talked about it. And what did they say? Hey, you're not telling me you believe in this guy, do you? None of you guys have actually started to follow this Jesus, have you? Come on. Well, should we try him before we know all the facts? Oh, come on now. Look, he's from Galilee. No prophet came out of Galilee. Except Elijah and Amos and Nahum. And they didn't know their story. They didn't know their stuff. They're just shooting off with the mouth. Know the Word of God. You'd be like David. He says, I know more than my teachers. You'd be surprised. You can actually learn the Bible and know more than somebody else standing up there shooting off of the mouth. Jesus says, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye, verse 26, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. You don't want to follow the shepherd. They do not believe because they're not willing to submit to the shepherd as one of the sheep. How many of us like to think of that? We follow I just follow him around like a little puppy dog. That doesn't feel right, does it? Oh. You don't have a mind of your own? I don't have a mind of my own. I just know all the problems with it. Now, I know someone's got a very good mind. God. If I follow my shepherd, I'll be in good shape. But they said, you know why they don't hear me? He says, you don't follow, you're not following the shepherd. You're not one of the sheep. The sheep hear the voice. John 5, let's go back. I think I gave it to you there. That's from previous time. Jesus speaking, he says, but I have a greater witness than that of John the Baptist. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. See, this is what he's been talking about way back. I'm giving you truth and you've refused it. There's got to be another way. Let us see. If they had known the word of God, they may have more easily recognized Jesus by how he fulfills prophecy. Maybe. They may have recognized Jesus by how he fulfills prophecy. On the other hand, the Pharisees, they saw it, but they refused it in spite of the fact of how he fulfilled the prophecy. Letter D, those that are willing to be one of the Lord's sheep have an eternal benefit. So right here, he's going to give them the gospel real quick. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me. No, watch me. He didn't say which gave me them. He gave them me. My Father gave me to be their shepherd, to be their Savior. That's what he's saying. He gave him himself. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now that you can't get a whole lot plainer than that. The good shepherd in Psalm 23 loves his sheep and will not allow anything to come between them. Romans 8, you know this passage. Let me just read it to you real quick. Romans 8:31. This is what the shepherd does. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather than is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, nakedness, or peril, sword? As is written, they, for thy sake they're killed all the day. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, no, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. He's not going to let anything happen to you. He's the good shepherd. Let's go on to number three. When truth cannot be denied, it is often sought to be simply eliminated. If we can't deny it, we'll try to eliminate it. It is amazing how people will argue what they don't want to be true. They'll figure a way to try to walk around it. Well, that can't be true because of this. Well, that can't be. The wrong response from the leadership here. They said that Jesus gave the wrong response, but they're the ones who gave the wrong response. Verse 31. So after he told him, says, I and my Father are one. Verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. You know what? They couldn't deny the works that he had done. They couldn't deny the healing. They couldn't deny how he handled things. They couldn't deny the fact that no man ever spake like this man spake. And when he stood there, filled with the Holy Spirit, and said, I and my Father are one. There's something down in our heart was spoken to by that the Holy Spirit was coming on saying, you know that's true. I wonder how many of us have come to the church and come to the Lord because there's problems and there's issues. And finally the Lord tells us something we need to handle. And we don't like it. And we stop. We stop coming. We stop reading the Bible. We stop coming to hear what have you just said. Well, I don't want that. Need that. It may not be to that dramatic effect, that level, but chances are all of us somewhere along the way have said, well, I don't think I need that. And I'll tell you why that's wrong. You know? I'll tell you why that's not going to work. Well, as I see it, they decided, I can't fight this thing, so we'll just kill him. Out of sight, out of mind. When the Lord does not respond the way we want, we're ready to cast him out of our lives. Well, I don't know. Of course we don't see everything like the Lord sees it. That comes after much time in the Word of God. Letter C, the heart of man is deceitful. The heart of man is deceitful and only sees what it wants to see. He says, I and my Father are one. What you've seen me do, that was God. That's what he said. That was God. And so and their response is, pick up stones and kill him. And Jesus says, verse 32, well, many good works have I showed you from my Father. Which of those works do you stone me? Well, they answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Okay. You heal the leper. You make that blind man who was born blind make his eyes see again, that we just in the middle of all this conversation. We're only a day or so here from Lazarus in chapter 11. You don't think my works are of God? Chapter 5, he's saying, you know that what you're seeing happening is a witness that what we're doing is from God. And the people knew that. It is as if they never saw the good things that Jesus did, but only the infractions of their law. He did on the Sabbath day, so it doesn't count. You healed him on the Sabbath day, nanner, nanner, doesn't count. Okay, you got to figure out another way to do that. You can't be God if you did it on the Sabbath day. Now, I know you healed somebody. I know they were blind. Now they can see. I know they were lame. Now they can walk. I know that they were dead. Now they're not. We did it on the Sabbath day. Doesn't count. You're going to do better than that. Number 4. Will the real God please stand up? Will the real God please stand up? Number 4. He says, you use the term gods to describe any man that is an official representative of God, such as ordained powers which are of God. That's what he's referring to. He says, well, they're gods. In other words, they were an authority. They were in God's place. Paul said that we are supposed to obey the powers that be. They're ordained of God. And to not obey them is like to disobey the ordinance of God. Romans 13. That's the way they saw it. Not that they were necessarily perfect, omniscient, omnipresent. All the Greek and Roman gods all had, well, they didn't all have Achilles' heel, but there was always an issue in all of them. And so the term was used like that. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods?" Watch this. "Is it not written in your law, I said?" You catch that? Oh, by the way, I wrote that down. That the book of the law there, yeah, I wrote that there. I know it's there because I wrote it in there. "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? And if he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came," and the scripture cannot be broken, "say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest? Because I said I'm the God of, I'm the Son of God." Now he's referring to Psalms 82, 6. I gave it to you there. He says, "I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes." In other words, they're God's representatives. They're clothed with his power, their authority to dispense judgment and justice. Therefore, all of them are said to be children of the Most High. That's how the term is used. But he says, you don't have any problem if I call you a God. Letter C, the leadership liked the terminology and title of God to promote their authority and position and esteem. But they were unwilling to share that with the only begotten Son of God, whose works bear witness that he really is God. Those people are not gods, nor have they ever done anything supernatural to make them seem as gods. And Jesus has done the supernatural that only God can do. And they have difficulty attributing to him the same terminology. You call yourself God. Well, you call yourself gods. But you go heal the leper. You go raise the dead. Letter D. The works of the leadership were in the name of God's authority, but they were done in the power of man. Let me say it again. The works of the leadership, those Jewish leadership, were in the name of God's authority, but in the power of man. The works of Jesus were done by a man, but in the power of God. 37. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. He says, okay, if what I'm doing doesn't prove that I'm from God, then don't believe me. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. By the way, that's another good reason why we need to surrender to the Lord and let the Lord do some supernatural things in our lives, change our hearts and lives. There's no greater testimony. We got folks in here. We got some folks who've only been saved, you know, a few years. And you've already run into some folks in your work or family or whatever. And they'll say, what's with you? Why are you different than you used to be? Why don't you do so-and-so when you used to? Why do you not do the things that we do anymore? And then in the back of their mind is saying, I wouldn't be able to do that. Well, probably not. It's a God thing. It's a God thing. Number 5, destroy the opposition. Once again, they had picked up stones. And he says, okay, well, what work are you stoning me for? Well, they couldn't. He says, I'm in my Father and Father in me. So there's no argument for the Jewish leadership to use. So they simply determined to silence the evidence. Verse 39. Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. That's our approach. Destroy the opposition. Eliminate that what makes us feel bad. Walk away from it. Take the Bible, close it up, put it on the shelf. Bring it out when somebody spiritual shows up so we look spiritual. But not read it, because it might contradict what we've already believed is truth. There's been a few things in my life over the years. I'm like everybody else. I got an ego. And I think I got things all figured out. And there's been times in my life where I thought, well, I've got this all figured out. Then the Bible, you read the Bible, it's amazing how the Bible will change your theology. Kind of messes everything up. We can justify an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. What's in there? And then we read the rest of it. And realize that's what God's saying. By the way, he has the right for an eye and eye and a tooth for a tooth. But he says, then there's mercy and grace. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If he met us with truth, we'd be dead before he has a chance to give us grace. The soul that sinneth, this shall die. But he meets us with grace to bring us to truth. You know what we do? We chop folks off of the knee. We meet him with truth.
Well, the Bible says it.
Yeah, since when are you the judge? He that hath no sin cast the first stone. Just going to let it go? No, I'm saying you live by truth. And by the way, not just that pet sin that you, or that little thing that you think, well, I'm better than they are. You got that all worked out. What about this other thing you're hiding back from? If you're going to judge them, then you got to be judged by the whole law yourself. I'll tell you what, it takes a lot of the wind out of your sails. You start meeting people in mercy. Old Testament says, by mercy and truth is iniquity purged. Truth, get it out of them. Yeah, but they're dead. Now you meet them in mercy. Number 6. Truth can be, you ready? Contagious. Truth can be contagious. You hang around Jesus with an open heart, and you're going to know truth. You hang around Jesus enough with an open heart, you're going to find some truth. Jesus took the thoughts of the people back to where his ministry began and allowed them to remember what John the Baptist said of him and what the Father said of him and the descent of the Holy Spirit as a dove. And then all that has happened while they witnessed. Look at verse 40. They were going to stone him, but he slipped out. And what did he do? Verse 40. He went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. Jesus went down to Jordan. Remember when John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." And a couple of his disciples, probably John was one of them. I think it was John and Andrew, if I remember right, but I'm not sure. I can't remember. They said, "Where are you dwelling when you want to come and see?" And they when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, the Bible says that a voice came from above. Says, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the shape of a dove. And John the Baptist said, "This is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." It's almost as if Jesus went back down there where he was at the very beginning of the ministry. And apparently, you know, I mean, he was well known by this time. And people down there saw him. They heard all what's going on, how the Pharisees deny who he is. They want to kill him. But look what it said. Verse 41. And many resorted unto him. You know, Jan and I are going on vacation. And tomorrow morning, actually. And we have a timeshare that we work with, but we just use the points to go here, there, and yon. And usually at a resort. And you know what they say, a resort, you know, a resort's for, you know, for all the, you know, this kind of, you know, to relax and recoup and comfort. And they've resorted to him. And if you go back and listen, it says John the Baptist, you go back and read it, John the Baptist baptized in the wilderness. But it says he baptized in the wilderness, out there in the middle of nowhere, along the River Jordan. But they resorted to Jesus. They found comfort and rest and a peace about things. They resorted unto him, and they said, look what it says in verse 41. You know, John did no miracle. But all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Jesus did not continue to argue the point with those Pharisees. He just simply brought attention to the evidence. Here we are again. Let's bring it around full circle. Sometimes you're trying to give out the gospel, trying to give out truth. Don't argue the point. Be the point. Arguing the point's not going to do a thing. It's like wrestling with a pig. You get muddy and you just irritate the pig. Don't get down in the muck and the mire with it. Show that they're wrong by simply allowing the Lord to make you what you need to be. Those that want to or are willing to know truth will find it. They found it. There were some who resorted to him and said, look, there it is. The evidence is all there. And they believed. Those that have already established what they believe to be truth will seldom be convinced otherwise. Arguing and debating over truth does little to propagate truth. Truth is best supported by truth being exposed, and exposed by being lived out. Father, thank you for speaking to us here tonight. May we live by truth. Lord, sometimes I think we take offense because somebody didn't believe us or whatever it was. Well, that's sometimes just the way they're going to be. But we need to do right. Let truth be seen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.